The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
With many of us making changes to our working situation since the pandemic by taking advantage of the ability to work from home, there's a greater risk for some to overwork beyond their official working hours. A new survey from HR Locker, a Lahinch-based HR software solutions provider, found that over half, 52% in fact, of full-time workers, when asked in a survey, said they were currently experiencing burnout. So what is burnout? The psychological impacts of it, and how do you tread that fine line of turning off and not too much when you're working from home? I'm joined by Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, and Louisa Meehan, spokesperson for Network Ireland and owner of Woodview HRM. Good morning and welcome to you both. Stephanie, first of all, what is burnout and how do you know you're burnt out?
Okay, morning, Pat. Well, burnout, I suppose, is that little bit more insidious than stress, in that often we kind of know that we're stressed, that we're rising to an occasion to deal with a particular kind of new set of pressures. But what often happens then is with burnout is that it kind of creeps upon the individual. They rise to the stress, they deal with that, and then perhaps that stress can be prolonged over a period of time. That's where burnout comes in, where the body and the mind have not got an opportunity to kind of decompress from the stress that they have risen to. And over time, what happens is there is a sense of not being able to relax. Now, obviously, the individual may not be as aware of this as I am making it clear in a kind of clinical way, but we would notice that a person finds it difficult to relax, to sleep, to take their mind off work. And then there's a series of other little kind of attending symptoms, if you like, where the person begins to feel less able, less competent, less confident of what they actually are able to deal with. So it has a kind of an eroding, if you like, factor to it. It kind of erodes the person's resources as well as putting the person under stress. There's a little more I can say on that, but as an intro, that's it.
Okay, but the question of why the pandemic might have made matters worse. Say you've got someone who's been commuting and paying for childcare. Yes. The pandemic comes along. Okay, we keep the kids at home or maybe be able to leave them for shorter hours, save money, no commute. You would think that burnout would be less likely, perhaps.
Well, yes, you're right there. In one sense, you would think that the person has more, that as individuals, we have more opportunity to relax, to go for the walks. And I think people did super well in that in COVID. And I think, but we have to accept that we're now coming out of COVID. So in COVID, people found themselves with all this new set of circumstances, which of itself maybe suggests that there was an enormous amount of free time. But remember, there was a lot of things to put into that free time, like people whose children usually were in creche or were in play school were now all at home. That was not without its pressures. So now in terms of work, and we know they were always managing the work and parenting balance at home. But the big problem there is we used to all have bridges, as we would say, a psychological bridge going to work. You know, you put on the gear, you got into your car and off you went. And in that time of commute, there is a kind of a letting go of one world and a kind of an embracing of the next, and in a way a kind of a readying up. But it also creates almost a physical boundary between the work and home, and that, as we know, got very much blended. Now, the problem is, how do you switch off then? Where do you draw that line when it's only lift up your laptop or it's only check your phone? And we know I know a lot has been spoken about this, but the truth is, people are finding it difficult to create that complete boundary. And I always say as well, try and remember that we've come out of a period where there's been a lot of little stresses dealing with all of this new rules, new situations, new ways of managing, new ways of working. And now we now have to really manage our own well-being. And that is part of it. There's good things to it, but there's new skills that we have to develop in order to do it really well.
The question is, if in a normal workplace situation someone is getting burnt out and they might be indulging in presenteeism, you know, you're there but you're not really there, you're in the office but you're not pulling your weight, the employer might be able to observe it. When people are working at home most of the time, either, you know, total remote or blended working, might be harder for the employer to spot that someone needs a bit of help.
Yeah, I think with stress and burnout in the workplace, one of the key indicators for the employer is a change in behaviour. So obviously where we can see somebody day in and day out, we can spot changes in behaviour a little bit easier. And this does require, where there's a hybrid working environment or a remote working environment, it does require the people managers, the line managers, to step up and to be much more acutely aware of changes in behaviour for their team. So some stuff in relation to work performance that might still be visible if you're monitoring it and you're paying attention to it. But on top of that, it's important that you set regular check-in points with the team collectively, but with each individual member of the team. And, you know, I was talking with a people manager recently who is relatively senior, and he was talking about what he does with his team. When he rings up about once a week, maybe once a fortnight, he'll ring up and he'll be like, you know, how are you? The person typically will say, fine. No, how are you really? Fine. No, how are you really? I'm really interested. And I think that's the piece. It's, you know, not to take at face value. We typically say we're fine, don't we, if somebody asks us? So to not to take that at face value, but to ask and check in a way that encourages them to tell you what's really going on at work, or if there's stressors at home that are impacting, etc. The behavioural changes, though, that's the real area for employers to pay attention to. It's what they have visibility of.
Now, employers are not really responsible for your domestic arrangements, and yet those domestic arrangements may impinge on productivity, particularly when this new scenario of remote working is in play. So, you know, employers be saying, hang on, it's none of my business if they're trying to do the divil and all. They're, you know, trying to save on creche fees, and they're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. I'm paying them to work for me.
Yeah, and I agree with you to a point that, you know, an employer can't invade into the home workplace too much. But if we look at some of the new remote working strategies that have come out from government, and you know, I've drafted some policies in line with those. Part of those policies would be very much about the employee demonstrating that they have a safe work environment at home, that they do have somewhere where they can create those boundaries, where they can comply with GDPR requirements, where they have a workstation, you know, the desk, the chair, the IT equipment, all of those things. And in the policies that I've created, at least, you know, we'd certainly be asking for an employee to send in a photograph, not of their home, but of that work situation. So an employer does still have a level of responsibility to ensure that where somebody is working from home, outside of it being in a crisis pandemic situation, if it's an ongoing arrangement, that it's done in a way that is safe for the employee and also for the employer and the wider organisation.
So, Stephanie, that as you talked about it, you know, the kind of psychological break between home and the workplace, if that's no longer there. I mean, not everyone has the ability. I'm, as it happens this morning, broadcasting from home. I have an office at home, which will double as a studio. And when I'm in here working, it is a place of work. Not everyone can do that, often working from the kitchen table.
Yes. Do you refer that to me, Pat? Yes, yeah. Absolutely. People don't always have the space. They don't have the place. And I think a few things I would say about that. There was, I think, managers and employers, just like Louise there is mentioning, that I think they're being super active. Any organization I'm dealing with, they are being super active in trying to be involved, trying to give the right signals, try to give people the opportunity to check in right and to be tuned in to their own kind of well-being. And I think, frankly, I think there's a lot being done in that area. One of the things that, and there's even question marks about, are we becoming the kind of nanny organization, you know, but I think in a cultural sense, but I think there is going to be a little more of that. But I think that is not so much to watch people as much as to empower people. And I think that is the way I see most organizations looking at it. So I think that's a really positive thing. In terms of people's environment, I think at home, if you haven't got the perfect environment, it's perfectly clear that people, the hybrid model is what works. Sometime at home, sometime in work. I really encourage people, and I have a number of people, even on my own books, who have, you know, they like to stay at home, they're in that environment, they've got used to it and all of that. But I don't think it's good for people to be at home all of the time. We know what disconnection is like. We've all felt it in COVID, and we now know the value of being in the office for the casual chats, the casual talk. And if I may mention, the other thing is that as well as checking in with people, which, as I say, managers are doing a good job in terms of that, it's quite hard to get people to open up. People won't open up because in many ways, you know, we're primed to stay in control of our day and in control of our lives. So if you say to me, how are you? I'm grand. I'm not going to tell you instinctively all the things that I'm worried about. So what we find is better with people in the workplace setting is that managers model what is okay. In other words, that people, you know, managers sort of speak about in a very human way about those kind of areas that staff may have difficulties with. So in many ways, it's a little bit, it sounds wrong to say like children, but that you're modeling what's okay. You're indicating it. You're not asking them directly, but you are establishing a culture where that can be, those kind of things can be spoken about.
Yeah, and also someone might drop the word to one of their colleagues, I'm really having a problem trying to balance everything, and the colleague might just say to the manager, by the way, you could give John or Emma a dig out in that regard because they're having a tough time at home, which they might never have shared with the manager. Anyway, look, it's a topic that is going to come back again and again, I suspect, as we find the new way forward. But thanks to Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, and Louisa Meehan, spokesperson for Network Ireland and owner of Woodview HRM.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.